Amen. You know, folks, the Word of God, it'll save your soul.
Amen.
Amen. It'll bring conviction. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. It'll bring exhortation.
Amen.
It'll bring reproof.
Yes.
It'll bring rebuke. Amen. Because you know something? God chastises those whom He loves.
Amen.
And every son or daughter has to endure the chastisement.
Yes.
Amen. Even Jesus Christ, even He, being the Son of God,
that's right,
He learned obedience through the things that He suffered.
Yes.
He was a man acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrow. But yet He was joy, peace, and love.
Yes.
Look at that. Amen. And then He made a bold statement. In Him we can have peace, love, and joy in the midst of our trials, and our persecutions.
Amen.
I have yet to go through a test or a trial or tribulation that I was going through it joyfully. You know, I always would like to be able to say, man, I just was right where I need to be all the time. Mm. Aren't you proud of me, Lord? No. It always, the joy comes when the Lord eases it off of me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Word of God says that God will not allow Satan to tempt you any more than what you're able to bear.
That's right.
But with every temptation, He will provide a means of escape.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, the trick is, what's the means of getting escape? Submit yourself unto God.
Yes.
Resist the devil. There is a devil, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And flee. Amen. He will flee from you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Satan's greatest weapon is the world don't believe in him. Mm. Amen. Do you understand? They are ignorant of Satan's devices.
Yes.
And we need to bring them out of darkness into light.
Yes.
But tonight, amen, glean your fields one more time. That's the title of our message tonight. Glean your fields one more time. The definition of the word glean is to gather grain left behind by the reapers. To collect bit by bit, one piece of grain at a time. Now, church, Jesus said the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest will send laborers into His harvest. I said, oh, wait now, Lord. We've been at this about 5 months now, and we ain't had a breakthrough, Lord Jesus. And I know that I ain't doing the best I could do. Amen. But I'm trying. Praise God. And my family's trying. My son Ronnie's trying. He's great support for me, and my wife is a great support for me. We got everything on our side.
Amen.
Amen. We're in one mind and one accord.
Amen.
The same vision. Amen. But then I looked at that word. It's called laborers. Amen. If it was easy, anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
That harvest, I said, Lord, this harvest is so plentiful. I've spoke to people after people, knocked on door after door. Amen. And I've had promises that they're coming, and I haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But I said, and it seems like people are happy in their delusion.
Yes.
But I said, but that isn't what the Word of God says. Then I thought, well, maybe, Lord, when you spoke at, you were looking over Jerusalem. You were talking about then. Maybe the harvest was plentiful back then. But we know that's not true.
That's right.
Amen. It's not God's will that one soul be lost.
Amen.
Amen. God does not take pleasure in a person dying going to hell.
That's right.
God, amen, wants everybody saved.
Yes.
We say, Lord, send us into your harvest. I'm willing to go. The church says, send us. But listen, we look for the virgin fields, never been reaped. Never before harvested with the abundance of grain, with much fruit. We look to the foreign fields, foreign countries, with people hungry for Jesus. And this is good. Jesus does need laborers in the foreign fields. But, listen now, but who is willing to go back into the local home fields where the church has already reaped and already harvested, and get down on your knees and diligently search for the grain, the precious fruit, to search for the priceless souls of unsaved humanity, to get your hands dirty, to glean a few, one soul at a time. We know the story of Naomi, amen, in the book of Ruth. How that in Bethlehem, Judah, there was a famine. in the land. And Naomi's husband took her and their two sons, and they went into a country called Moab. And there they dwelt because it was a famine in Israel, and people were starving. And in a time, praise God. Well, look here. Praise the Lord, folks. Good to see you. Come right on in. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. I'm glad to. Amen. Amen. Brother and sister, we just started the message, and we're talking about gleaning. Gleaning. Amen. You've heard that word glean. The definition of that word glean is to gather grain that has been left behind by the reapers. To collect bit by bit, piece by piece, one grain at a time. I said that the Word of God says, amen. Jesus said the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers, they're few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest will send laborers into his harvest. Amen. And I asked the Lord, amen, if this harvest is so great, amen, where's everybody at? Amen. And I began to realize that the Word of the Lord says, laborers. You've got to labor for the fruit. Amen. It doesn't come cheap. Salvation didn't come cheap. Jesus paid the ultimate price. Amen. His own precious blood. His life on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so, I said tonight, that people are looking for virgin fields. They're looking for fields where no one's ever reaped, where there's all these souls that are hungry and desirous of Jesus, the foreign fields where many people go into the foreign fields of foreign missionaries. But I ask the question tonight, who's willing to go back into the local home fields here at your own town, here at your own city, where the church has already reaped, where the church has already harvested, and get down on your knees and diligently search for the grain, the precious fruit, to search for the priceless souls of unsaved humanity. Amen. To get your hands dirty. To glean a few, one soul at a time. And I spoke in the book of Ruth, there was a lady named Naomi. And her husband, amen, took Naomi and her two sons, amen, and they went and dwelt in a place called Moab, because in the land of Israel there was a great famine. And the Word of God says that while they dwelt there in Moab, there come a time that Naomi's husband died. And her two sons, they took wives of Moab. One wife's name was Orpah, and the other was named Ruth. And as time passed, Naomi's two sons, they also died and left no children. Very important here. No one to support Naomi. Amen. No relations. No men. No nephews. No grandsons. And the Word of God says, amen, therefore, the Word of God says that Naomi heard that the Lord had visited Israel, and now there was bread in Israel. The famine was over. And the Word of God says, therefore Naomi desired to return to her home, Bethlehem, Judah. And she told her two daughters-in-law, to each of them, to return to their mother's house, to stay there in Moab, go back to their mother's home. And the Word of God says that Orpah eventually did return to her people. But listen to this. But Ruth, she clave unto Naomi and returned to Israel with her. In the book of Ruth, if you have your Bibles tonight, in verse 1, chapter 16, amen, the Word of God says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee now, or to return, amen, but follow after thee. Ruth said, for where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and where thou art buried, I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught but death part me and thee. Now listen to that. This daughter-in-law loved her mother-in-law so much that she was willing to give up her own home, her own family, her own nation, and she was not, amen, a Jew. She was not, amen, of the tribe of Israel. Yet she said to her mother-in-law, she said, I want to go where you go. I want to live where you live. I want to dwell where you dwell. I want your God to be my God. Think of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. That my God. I want it to be my God. And God forbid that anything would ever separate you and I but death itself. Amen. That was Ruth's great proclamation. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. How Hallelujah. When you're not a Christian and you hear a person come up and begin to testify to you, and you begin to see God in them, and you see the light of the Lord in them, amen, you should hunger and thirst after what they got.
Amen.
Amen. You should desire.
Amen.
Amen. As you said, brother, one day I repented of my sins.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't know anything about God. Amen. As far as who Jesus Christ truly is. But I've told my testimony many times. Amen. But as a child, amen, I was raised in the Methodist church. Amen. If you want to call being raised there, I visited there. I went to Sunday school there. I sang in the choir there. Amen. But when I got to a teenager, I was too big for that stuff. Amen. It wasn't 2 years later. I married my wife at 18. I went to her church as far as to get married. Amen. I didn't know anything about the word apostolic. I didn't know anything about the apostolic doctrine. I didn't know where it come from. Amen. My wife was sick in the hospital. She had an arm brace and Lord said, apocalyptic or something. And I just said, well, I was wondering what faith she was of. I'd never heard of it. You understand? Know, because it didn't say Methodist, Baptist, Christian. It didn't say it. And it took me a while to learn how to even say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it was years later before I found out what it was all about.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But we visited her home church, amen, several times a year. I don't know if it was Easter, Christmas, whatever, like people do. Amen. And we was in Sunday school. And Sunday school was over. Amen. And we all stood up to go home. And that preacher, only if I could preach like that. Now my flesh said, I cannot preach that man. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's vanity.
Right.
And that's conceit. And that's no anointing. Because I'll tell you, that man, God put the words in his mouth to save my soul.
Amen.
All he said was, he just stood up there before he dismissed and he said, if there's anybody in here today that would like to give their heart to Jesus Christ and make heaven their home, come up here to this altar.
Mm.
That was it. That was the whole sermon.
Mm.
And I said, not me. People know me. They know my conversation. They know how I am. But that moment, the Lord touched my heart, and I stepped out of that aisle, and I walked up there and knelt down. As far as I know, I didn't know what an altar was. But obviously, somehow, I knew to go up there and kneel down. And I began to cry. I didn't ask God to forgive me this.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I just began to cry. And I felt the Spirit of God. I felt a touch from the Lord. And I opened my eyes, and my wife had come up and knelt down beside me. And that man was a smart man. He looked at me and said, you want to be baptized? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I felt God for the first time in my life. I want to be baptized. He said, you come back here tonight. See how you got? Come on back here tonight. And we'll get you baptized. Hallelujah. So I came back that night and I got baptized. Hallelujah. And I started reading my Bible. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Never heard of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Never heard speaking in tongues. Never heard Pentecostal people. All I can tell you is that I come to church and that man got up there and said, you need the Holy Ghost. And he come up here to this altar. And I wanted it. I got up there and knelt down. Never heard anybody speak in tongues before. All the people was praying all around me and I began hearing people that didn't understand what they said. And I laughed and said, jumped right up and right out of there and never take it back. No. I did not do that. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't scared. Somehow I knew. They got something I ain't got.
Right.
I want what they got. So I began to hunger and thirst after it. Amen. To the point was, I didn't miss any church. And I didn't care what they preached. They better have an altar call. Because I was going to be there. Because I wanted the Holy Ghost. I wanted God.
Amen.
And that's what people have to have.
Amen.
Somehow, some way, when we're talking to people out there on the street, God, I said, surely I can knock on somebody's door that you've dealt with their heart before I got there, and they've been asking you to send somebody by to knock on the door and ask them to come out to church. Amen. And then we're talking about gleaning. Thank you, Jesus. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi. Now, after they got back to Israel, it was only Ruth, and it was only Naomi. They had no man. They had no support. Amen. Here they are with no support. And Ruth, as a younger woman, says, let me now go into the field. She has permission from her mother-in-law. She was obedient unto her mother-in-law. She showed respect unto her mother-in-law. Amen. And she showed respect unto her God. And let me glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She asked her mother-in-law for permission to go out into the field and to go into somebody else's property, and somebody else's crop, and to glean, to try to get a few grains that they might not starve to death. Think of this. And Ruth went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. hap was that she lit upon the part of the field belonging to a man named Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. Ruth was a gleaner. She was a gleaner. And Ruth came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Ruth was the one to get down in the dirt to gather just a few handfuls of grain after a long day in the field under a hot sun to provide bread for her and her mother-in-law. Now I'm going to tell you something. God showed respect unto this.
Amen.
Gleaning is hard work.
Amen.
Gleaning is back-breaking work. Most people will not glean. Now you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my work.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The Word of God says, even as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, also being alone. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've been accused, amen, of being people who think we're going to earn our way to heaven. That is a lie from Satan. We're saved by the mercy and the grace of God, not by our goodness. But let me tell you something, folks. Amen. Once you come to the Lord, amen, He expects some work out of you.
Yes.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? He expects something out of you.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, God didn't just save you so that you could sit back and do nothing. Amen. How about praying? How about, amen, showing compassion? Everybody doesn't go out and preach. But you are my witnesses, saith the Lord.
Yes.
My servant whom I have chosen, that you might understand and believe that I am He. Before me there was no God created, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Lord God Almighty prophesied that through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Amen. Now, is there more than one Savior? The Word of God says that His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save their people, His people, from their sins. Amen. Praise God. Think about what I'm saying. Amen. Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
A minute ago, brother, you said this thing is not hidden.
That's right.
I agree. Amen. It's not hidden to those that are saved.
That's right.
But if this gospel be hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. Ooh. Do you hear me? If it be hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. Now, this gospel, this good news that we preach, praise God, it also includes the fact of who God is. Amen. It also is the fact, amen, God said, before me there was no God created, neither shall there be after me. Right. Amen. He said, I even looked, and I couldn't find it. Praise God. But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning of God. And all things were made by Him, the Word. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made, and in Him, the Word was life.
Yes.
That life was light of men.
Yes.
Think about that. Amen. The Word of God says He was in the world.
Woo!
The Word was in the world. And the world was made by Him.
Yes.
And the world knew Him not.
Yes.
He came to His own people, the Jews. And His own people received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, gave He power.
Yes.
Amen. To become the sons of God, being born not of the flesh, nor the will of man, but being born of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's something to shout about.
Yes.
And the Word was made flesh.
Amen.
That Word, that spoken Word of God became
yes.
flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. And that flesh, amen, is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
He is the expressed image of an invisible God.
Amen.
He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
The expressed image. Praise His holy name. Amen. I would say to you that if our God, amen, would look in a mirror, amen, and he would see his reflection, he'd see Jesus Christ looking back at him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because God is a spirit, no man can see a spirit.
That's right.
Amen. The only way we'll ever see God is when we see the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good. Hallelujah. I ask you to forgive me about this throat. Amen. I've had a little bit of this and that. You should have prayed for me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Blessing, Lord.
Amen. But we're going to get through this. Hallelujah. Gleaning is hard work.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. God rewarded Ruth for her devotion to her mother-in-law Naomi by giving her favor in the sight of a man named Boaz, who owned the field where she gleaned. And Boaz took Ruth for his wife. And God will reward his wife. Catch this. God will reward his wife.
Yes.
God will reward the church, his wife, for their labor of gleaning.
Yes.
Ruth was a gleaner.
Yes.
She was a righteous woman.
Yes.
Amen. She was a humble woman.
Yes.
Amen. We know the story how, amen, that she even laid there, amen, on the floor at night.
Yes.
Amen. Between the gleaning.
Yes.
Amen. And as she laid there, a righteous woman, amen, she covered the feet of a man named Boaz.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Boaz said, I want that woman. That's a good woman right there. Praise God that he was.
Yes.
He has some intelligence.
Yes.
Amen. He already saw how she treated her mother-in-law.
Yes.
Amen. He already saw that she could work. Amen. She wasn't afraid to get down into the dirt.
Come
amen.
On.
Praise God. And he saw that she was righteous.
Yeah.
Amen. So much so, the custom in that country was that whoever, amen, the closest kindred was to Ruth, to Naomi, because Ruth was her daughter-in-law, amen, would be the one that was entitled to ask Ruth to marry them. So Boaz went around to the other gentlemen and found out if they was going to take her for their wife,
right?
Because he wanted her. And God worked this thing out. And I'll add this, by the way. The Word of God tells me that through Ruth, a Moabitess, amen, came David the king.
Yes.
Boaz, I believe, begets somebody, Jesse. Mm-hmm. And Jesse begets David.
Yes.
And David's the king. Hallelujah. Through that righteous woman.
Yes.
I give you chills.
Yeah.
Amen. So I must say that women must have some special place.
Amen.
In this plan of salvation too. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank you for it.
Amen.
Amen. And that God refers to His church as His bride.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to have to be like Ruth.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to have to be without spot. We're going to have to be without wrinkle. We're going to have to be without blemish. And then we'll hear a word that you don't hear all the time. Be you holy.
Yes.
And be you separate, says
yes.
the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Be you holy.
Yes.
For without holiness, no man shall see God.
No man.
Amen. This is what God said. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not by my righteousness. Amen. I had to figure this thing out. And it's this. Abraham believed God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was counted to him as righteousness.
Yes.
We believe the word of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's counted unto us for righteousness.
Amen.
The Lord looks at us. He sees the blood.
Yes.
Amen. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ to take away the sins of the world. Amen. We can be holy through Jesus.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Not by my righteousness. Not by my might. Not by my spirit. But by God's spirit. Say
yes.
The Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And so I tell you tonight, holiness is still a wonderful word.
Yes.
Now,
amen. God hasn't changed.
Amen.
Amen. God wants, amen, us to be perfect.
Yes.
Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I know that we get our eyes off the Lord. And I know there's times, amen, we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, amen, that the Word of God tells me, Paul said, I don't tell you this that you would sin. But if you do fall into sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He is our propitiation.
Yes.
He is our substitute. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, folks, amen, the Lord didn't just save you from your sins when you were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. But He keeps you safe.
Yes.
Amen. If you commit a sin after being born again, you don't go back to the water and be buried with Jesus into death. Amen.
Yes.
How many times can you be buried?
Amen.
Yes. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again of the water and spirit, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. Amen. You can't enter into heaven.
Yes.
Amen. So God made a spiritual way. Amen. In order for you to be born again, you've got to first die.
Yes.
Amen.
And God made a way that you could die out to sin without having to die in the flesh.
Amen.
Because the Bible says God can't lie. And the Word of God says the soul that sins shall surely die. Then He goes on to say you've all sinned.
Yes.
You've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Sure.
You was conceived in iniquity. You were born in sin.
That's right.
God can't lie. So God had to make a way that you could die out of sin without having to die in the natural
life.
Yes.
Amen. And He did that through His death. His burial, and His resurrection. We protect, the Lord's death when we repent. Amen.
Yes.
We partake of the Lord's burial when we're baptized.
Yes.
Amen. We partake of the Lord's, amen, resurrection when you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, the Holy Ghost is a great thing.
That's right.
Amen. And what is that Holy Ghost? That Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ.
Right. Yes, it is.
Amen. The Bible tells me, amen, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ.
Preach.
Yes.
Amen. Yet I live.
Yeah.
But yet not I, but Christ lives within me.
Yes.
Jesus said, I must go away in order to send back the Comforter. And the Lord will send back the Comforter in my name. He said, I'll not leave you alone. He said, I'll come to you.
Yes.
Amen. And so we realize, amen, that the Holy Ghost in us is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And He is the Savior of the body.
Yes.
Amen. The Word tells me, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus, that rose Him from the dead, Holy Ghost, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body.
Yes.
Amen. It is our ticket out of here.
Amen.
Amen. It is our ticket out of here. Amen. Praise God. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to raise us up in life.
Yes.
Unless we are the fortunate ones to go in the rapture,
yeah,
then it's going to change us instantly. And by the way, we must be awfully close.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. We're so close, we don't even know.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We could be the ones that's changed in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Amen. Now here's the thing. Where's your treasure at?
Come on.
Jesus.
Amen. The Word of God tells me, where a man's treasure is, there lies his heart also.
Yes.
Amen. The Word of God tells me, take no thought of tomorrow what you eat or drink or what you wear.
Yes.
Amen. The Word of God tells me, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, the God's righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen.
Jesus.
It goes on to tell me, amen, that where a man's heart is, there lies his, or where a man's treasure is, there lies his heart also.
Yes.
And so if you lay up your treasures in heaven, spiritual treasures, amen, these children, spiritual treasures, you people you brought to the Lord, then you're going to be desirous to go where your treasure is.
Amen.
Amen. But if your treasures are down here in materialistic things, you ain't going to want to go up there.
That's right.
You're going to say, oh, eventually I want to go up there, but not today.
Yes.
I want to stay here today to enjoy what I got here. And then we'll go up there later.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work that way. Amen. Now, God knows your heart.
Yes.
Amen.
And I don't think He's going to take anybody up there that don't want to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The reapers go into the field first.
Yes.
And they harvest the crops.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of the grain fall to the ground. But the reapers are too busy gathering the abundance to take notice of the few. Amen. Now, thank God for those reapers. Thank God they're getting that great harvest. But they're too busy for the few. Church, are we willing to go back into the harvest fields of our town, of our city, and glean the few precious souls that were missed and overlooked? You know, I had a little bit of a hard time deciding to preach this message tonight. Because you know what happens? I got convicted. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I said, Lord, you give this to me, and now here, I'm not measuring up. You know, praise God. I said, now surely if I get out here and tell these people this, then I'm going to have to do better. I'm going to do better. Amen. Are we willing to glean the outcasts, the down and out, those the other denominational churches spurn, the poor of our city, those filthy with the sins of the world, the demon-possessed, the drug abusers. Amen. These people are in slavery. They are bound by Satan.
Yes.
Amen. And they can't help themselves. Amen. And you know what the Word of God says? That we all had our part in that one time. We all had our conversation in that in times past. But now we've been cleansed.
Amen.
Now we've been made pure. But it was not by our righteousness. Somebody witnessed to you.
Yes.
Somebody told you about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm sure at one time there's some men looked at me and said, that ain't no frat guy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I looked at my family, my extended family, my aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. Not very many of them ever give their heart to God. And I marveled and asked the Lord why I did. I asked Him, what's different about me than all the rest of them? I was just exactly like them. except for one thing. My mother, even though they never took me to church, maybe Easter when I was a little boy, about 5 years old, I can remember hunting Easter eggs. As I got into grade school, my sister and I went to church by ourselves because the local community, the children went, we went with them. But, bless God, my mother taught me to say, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." You know, I said that prayer as a kid, no matter how rotten I was during the daytime. Amen. I said that prayer before I went to bed. And you know what? It wasn't until after I come to the Lord that I said that and figured out what I was talking about. "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." It was enough that as I was growing up, if I would get into trouble, and I knew I was in for problems with my parents or anybody else, I'd be, "Oh, God, help me. Lord, get me out of this mess." And, you know, as a child, I didn't think in Jesus' name. I just went, "Lord, help me. You know, get me out of this mess." But it was enough that I said, "There must be a God."
Amen.
Because instinctively, every time I'm in trouble, I'll holler for you. And that was enough to convince me. Praise God. And I do believe that must have been the difference.
Amen.
My mom, if she hadn't done that.
So I had a neat prayer in school for a lot of parents.
Amen. That's true.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the Word of God says, "And of some sinners, have compassion on them, making a difference." Listen, make a difference in their life. "And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh." These people's got one foot in hell. Amen. These people, the Word of God said, these souls are already, amen, their clothes have caught on fire. Their flesh is starting to burn. You don't hear about this very much. And I don't say that to scare children. God forbid. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. But listen, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun.
Rich.
Amen. Heaven's going to be great. Hell's going to be terrible.
Yes.
Amen. Up there's peace, love, and joy. Down there's burning.
Yes.
Amen. People don't want to believe in a literal hell. They don't want to believe in a literal fire.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be there. You're going to know who you are. You're going to have your right mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to suffer, but you're never going to be consumed.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're living in a day and time you can't scare anybody to heaven. Amen. Now, you know, that ain't a popular subject. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there was a time, amen, I heard some fiery messages.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I'll tell you, I saw people go to that altar.
Amen.
I saw people go to that altar. And I saw people's life change.
You know, amen. Consciousness has been seared at.
Amen.
On TV.
Hallelujah.
Just reading that, they're desensitized.
Amen. Amen. I'll say it here. Amen. These people, amen, their clothes are on fire. They're right, amen, at the gates of hell. Their flesh stinks. And most churches, listen, will pass by on the other side of the street. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
Listen to what I'm saying. Let not us be self-righteous.
That's right.
Too good to help the man in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Let us not be the Pharisee who, when they went up to the temple and began to say, two men went up to the temple. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican, a sinner, a tax collector. And when they went up there, the Pharisee began to say, "I thank my God that I tithe, amen, and I fast twice a week. And I'm not like these other people. I'm not like this sinner over here." Speaking about that publican. And the Word of God tells me that that sinner wouldn't even raise his eyes up to heaven, but he beat his chest. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the Bible tells me that sinner went down justified rather than that Pharisee.
Yes.
For every man that will exalt himself, God's going to humble him.
Come on,
but if you'll humble yourself, God will elevate you. God, amen, will bring you up in due time.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
They will shy away, listen, not willing to get their hands dirty to save a precious soul. All souls are precious to Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus died for all.
All of us.
Jesus is saying, church, go to your friends, your neighbors, your city.
Yes.
Witness. Testify. Amen. Give home Bible studies. Compel them to come in to save themselves from the holy wrath of God. Yes. See, we're living in a day and time that all people want to hear is God's love. God's love. And yes, God is love. Praise His holy name. But He is also a God of wrath.
Yes.
He's also a God of judgment.
Yes.
Amen. And if you, amen, give your heart to Him, amen, He's going to love you. Praise God. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you. But there's going to come a time when God is going to pour out His wrath on the wicked, which is soon to come when God will pour out His wrath on the ungodly, yes, the wicked, the unbeliever. Amen. The good shepherd will leave the 99 sheep and seek for that one lost sheep. And upon recovering that one lost sheep, he will rejoice with all. Jesus died for that one lost sheep.
Amen.
That one soul. Jesus died for that one soul. Church, the easy fruit has already been reaped.
Oh, yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? If we desire to win souls, it will take gleaning.
Yes.
Gleaning the field.
Yes.
Listen, it will take effort. It will take sweat. And it will take work. Saints, let us glean our city one more time.
One more time.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my wife if she would to get another song. We'll sing a song in a second. I got one last sentence to say. Praise the Lord. Now, amen, I'm going to keep my word on this. One last sentence. Praise God. Listen to this. Jesus Christ is a gleaner.
Amen. Thank God.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is a gleaner. Amen, Sister Carolyn. Amen. And we are His body. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you would all stand, please. And we'll just sing a song unto the Lord.
Turn your books to page 9.
Hallelujah.
Talk for us that I'll say, yes, Lord, yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your ways, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, to your will and to your way.
Hallelujah.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes.